listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
Yes, you are, ladies and gentlemen, and it is Thursday, February 7th, and it's a decent California, Southern California day.
Yes, right? It is.
It's about, 72 degrees?
Yes, 72 degrees, just in time for tomorrow to have a 70% chance of thunderstorms. Did you know that?
Here in Los Angeles?
Yeah.
No, I did not know that.
Yes, yes.
What, did Dallas Rains say that to everybody?
Dallas Rains. Boy,
that's who I watch, man.
Do you watch Dallas?
I like his hair.
Yeah?
That's it.
He's got that. Dallas looks like he wipes clean with a damp cloth. He's got that sheen to him, you know?
He
so polished.
Pretty, he looks pretty darn good. That's all I can say. I should only look that good when I'm that age.
Well, you know, he's 106.
Is he?
We'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry. You know, maybe I should get the sponsor read correct.
Yeah, you can't buy those through the mail anymore.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. I tell you. My uppers are slipping. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent, agents, as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar.
Yes, we are. We are. We actually have three guests today. We have two in studio.
That's right.
And a very special guest on the phone who will join us in just a few moments. You've heard of the triple threat. Well, collectively, we have a couple of quintuple threats here today. We are joined by two performers who excel at nearly every aspect of the business we call show, both on stage and off. You can see both of them live on stage in the smash hit And the World Goes Round, a stunning review of two of Broadway and motion pictures' most prolific songwriters, Kander and Ebb, now playing at the NoHo Arts Center. Please welcome Joshua Eli Krantz and Kristen Towers Rolls.
Hello.
Oh, yeah. Nice to have
you. Oh, wow. Yeah.
No, really.
Yeah, really, please.
So good to have you. Nice to meet you, Joshua. First
nice
time.
Nice to meet you too, Paul. Thank you for having me on the show.
Having you here, and Kristen's an old pro, her second time with us.
Yes, and Paul, you're going to come see this show. I know that you will.
Yes, I am. Because huge Kander and Ebb fan.
Yes.
My mother's favorite musical ever is Cabaret. There's been none better. None better than Cabaret, I'm telling you. I watched the new ones, two or three of them hopping into bed in a clip, but Cabaret. And actually, oddly enough, what's her second favorite one? What would it be after Cabaret?
Chicago,
mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So she's all a tither. She's listening right now.
Well,
we got her that iPad. She's got the iPad.
Oh, she has the iPad. Yeah. How
she's
fresh.
Coming into the 21st century. So she's doing all that. So she's listening on the iPad now. Hello, Mom. Forgive me for mocking you, but I've made a living doing it for the past 9 years.
Why stop now?
Why stop now?
Yeah. Exactly.
Paul, how was your week? I haven't seen you all week, and I know you did some traveling.
It was good. It was good. My wife's parents celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary, went out to Chicago to see them. And we landed on the coldest day in 346 days in Chicago, and the first day with snow in 346 days.
Oh, really?
So talk to me next week when I find my testicles again, because right now, telling you, not without both hands, a map, and a magnifying glass. Cold it was.
Well,
cold, I'm telling you.
That sounds just horrible.
And Paul, that isn't what I've heard.
Well, you know, but we are on the internet, so.
I mean, hold on. Which part?
The testicles.
Oh, the testicles.
Okay. And we get so spoiled with weather here in Southern California.
I know. It's like, I know. My testicles are usually very casually comfortable.
Well, but, you know, it was cold here though too. We've had a cold.
Oh, cry me a river. When you're walking to the train and your right eye freezes shut, that's cold. Wow. Don't talk to me about.
Oh, it was 40, and I had to wear a little tam and a little scarf. It was a cold Southern California boy.
And, you know, it makes the news. You know, like
cold
storm
snap.
Track.
Yes,
storm track.
Did you see that video clip that they had? I think it was Jimmy Kimmel who put it together.
Yes, it was
and they strung. Did you saw it? Well, Chris, will you describe what it was?
It was like, it is 50 degrees. Yeah. How do we survive this? There was wind.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, it's awesome.
It's the cold snap.
Yes. And then, and the best thing is the map behind
the Doppler. Right? Like, Doppler, yeah, 7000.
And it's like 50, 52.
Exactly.
And a Big Bear, 48.
Woo! Yeah. I know.
Too cold to shop at Fashion Square.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, oh, my goodness. Well,
how was your week, Michael, before
good,
we get to our first
week? Aside from getting the fabulous And the World Goes Round to open this past weekend, and we've had some glorious reviews all week, breaking, and they're still breaking, and we have a fabulous cast. And obviously, in studio with us, two of them, and the others we're going to give a big shout-out to later. But, yeah, so that it was busy. LA's Next Great Stage Star is coming to an end, you know, this coming week. It's the finale after
a
6-week musical theater competition, the only kind, the only one of its kind, I should say, on the West Coast. So we're very, very thrilled about that.
Well, that's great. That's attendance, good. Just like it has been,
so
just packed
through the roof. Yeah, we have, you know, the finale at Sterling's upstairs at the Federal in North Hollywood has been sold out for before we opened, actually.
Wow.
We have some 60, 70 people on a waiting list to get in.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Have both of you seen that room or been to the space at the Federal? I saw you opening night, Kristen.
I saw you opening night, and then I actually did my own solo show at the Federal in June.
That's right.
That was also very successful.
Joshua, have you been
there? I've gone to see quite a few shows there, yeah.
Upstairs.
Had us there.
He's a regular.
He's a regular.
Yeah. It's a beautiful room, isn't it?
Oh, it's a beautiful room.
Yeah, very loft-like, but it still has that.
It has one of the smallest pianos I've ever seen in my entire life.
Oh, really?
But it sounds beautiful.
Yeah, it's
A little baby grand.
It's small but perfectly formed.
That's right. Yes. You know, we should get into the crux here of the show, Paul, don't you think?
Do give our first guest his due. Do you want to do the intro, Michael?
Joining us, ladies and gentlemen, on the telephone is our first guest. He began his Broadway career as a substitute rehearsal pianist for West Side Story. The stage manager for West Side Story then asked him to play the auditions for her next show, Gypsy. During the auditions, he met the choreographer Jerome Robbins, who suggested that he compose the dance music for the show in 1959. This was just the start of the career of one of the most legendary composers in musical theater. Our first guest met lyricist Fred Ebb in 1962 and began a songwriting collaboration that would last for more than four decades. Their songs have been recorded by Barbara Streisand, Liza Minnelli, and Cheetah Rivera, to name just a few. The duo's musicals, Cabaret and Chicago, have both been made into films, with Cabaret winning 8 Academy Awards and Chicago taking home 6, including the 2002 Academy Award for Best Picture. It is our distinct pleasure to welcome a living legend, the incomparable John Kander.
Welcome, sir. Are you there?
Wow. I was listening to all of that intro, and I thought, who are they talking about?
Well, Mr. Kander, I know I speak for Michael when I say that we are beyond delighted to have you on the show. And I just have to tell you, if you could have seen the physical reaction of our two guests as Michael was reading your intro, it just they are probably just as a tither as we are.
Oh my gosh.
Well, thank you for asking me.
Oh my goodness. And our two guests, as we said earlier, Mr. Kander, Kristen Towers Rawls, who's the granddaughter, by the way, of the fabulous Catherine Grayson, and Joshua Eli Kranz, who is the musical director and vocal director for And the World Goes Round here in Los Angeles. And he is probably one of your most devoted fans, having started playing the piano at a very young age, at 1.5 years old, and becoming rather proficient by around 5 years old, and mastering so many other musical instruments in his lifetime. But he has an affinity for the work of your work and Fred Ebb's through the years, and this is an 18-year dream come true for him to be able to musically direct this show. So the very nature of you coming on and guesting, which was a complete surprise to him, is nothing short of awesome, sir. So thank you. And we are wanting to talk to you about your wonderful career and how this, I mean, obviously we set it up a little bit through the intro there, but you're still writing, aren't you? And you have a new writing.
I'm still breathing.
You're still breathing. There you go.
I've read some of the reviews for War Goes Round, and I'm really, it must be, you guys must have done a really great job.
Well, thank you.
Yes, thank you so much, sir.
Well, I mean, with the material, it's hard to not do a great job with it. I'm both Joshua and
Oh, it's possible. It's believe me, it's possible to do a really lousy job.
But we have a very
unfortunately, I've seen it sometimes.
Well, we have a very devoted team that really wanted to stay true to the original vision of what you created with And the World Goes Round, and so. All of the reviews have actually reflected that mm-hmm. we are staying very true to your original concept. And it is just such an honor to be able to perform your great work and to be able to share this time with you right now. Really.
Well, thank you so much. Is anybody making a video of it, or is there anybody who could see it?
There certainly
Or should we not talk union rules?
Mr. Kander, we'd actually love for you to see a video of it. It wouldn't be too bold to put this out there. I know the cast recording of the show was recorded back in 1991, and we have an amazing cast. And the thing about that particular cast recording is it wasn't totally complete. You only recorded 18 of the 31 songs. And I would be honored to, and our cast would be honored if we could make a new cast recording of your show. I don't know if it's something that you.
I would love that too. I don't know how you go about those things. Mm-hmm. I just do the tunes.
Well. I mean,
we're actually getting some assistance for Joshua to be able to find that out.
Yeah, we go
through the right channels.
What a great idea, though! You say in the first one, only 18 of the
18
songs
of
were
the
recorded.
31 songs were recorded. Yes.
Okay.
And we're actually even putting City Lights into our show too, which most productions do not do City Lights. Christian actually performs a small section of that song that goes right from that number into a class, actually. And we try to make the show as seamless as possible. That's one of the things that's very important about your music is when you take the. I have to say, Mr. Kander, or should I call you John?
I answer more easily.
Okay, John. The thing about the music that's always amazed me so much is not only your body of work, but when I worked on this particular piece and I was exposed to it when I was about 18 years old, I didn't understand it as well. It was kind of more of a on the surface thing for me because I was a young guy, but I always loved the music. And the thing is I've gone through my life experiences. This particular piece has resonated in me all of these years and through my personal life and my professional life. And actually, I know you've written music for people like Liza Minnelli, Barbara Streisand, and some of these beautiful hits are in this show. We kind of flipped the show on its ear. I actually sing the opening number of your show.
I saw that in one of the reviews. Some notice of that. Well, that's a great idea.
Thank you, sir. I mean, the thing is, the music, the thing is about the show is it. It never, for the most part, when I've seen the show, it's always been more like a musical review, and our show has kind of a through storyline, and the basis of this idea of this show is that it comes from the memories of me, and I think I very personally can connect with all the memories of your the numbers in the show, and then of course they're put out through these wonderful, wonderful triple threat performers that I get to perform with every night. I mean, I can't tell you. And the one thing I love about your music is the gems that you've created in this show that people don't normally hear.
Oh, what are some of those people are?
Well, I know John from reading about you. Your favorite song that you ever wrote was of. In particular is a Quiet Thing, which Kristen sings in the show beautifully. I had a question I wanted to ask you about that. How did that particular song become your favorite? And then my other question for you would be, when you started, I know you started playing piano at a very young age like I did, how did you get into writing for musicals, and who were your influences in your life?
First thing first, A Quiet Thing. Brett and I really always wrote about character. It's great. I mean, it was very lucky that we had some songs that were hits, but we never, or very, very rarely, wrote songs just to be songs. And so a quiet thing happens in Flora the Red Menace at a moment when Flora has just gotten a job. It's the middle of the Depression, and she's gone into this office, and they actually offered her a job for I think it's $30 a week, and she's overwhelmed by it. It's not a love song. It's about how you feel when suddenly the most exciting thing in your life happens to you, and you've always thought about how jubilant you would be, how jumping up and down with excitement, and that's not the way it is. And I know in my own life, I feel that way too. Sometimes the most important things and most gratifying things that have ever happened to me just sort of take your breath away and make you want to sit down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, this music takes my breath away every time I play it. I mean,
thank you. It's hard.
It's
hard vocally.
Exactly, and I play the entire show from beginning to end. So you know, every night in the show, and I, what the music that you worked on with Dave.
Well, then you're really stuck with it.
Oh yeah, I am absolutely stuck. And the music when you worked on this with Dave Thompson, the arranger that did this show, I mean,
David Thompson wrote the continuity.
You wrote the continuity of it. Oh, okay. Who helped
put it together? David Loud.
David Loud. Okay.
Who did what you did.
Okay.
And who is now my musical director of choice and has been all these years.
Oh.
Is the most extraordinary vocal arranger I know.
Wow.
And he's done, this was very early on in his life, but for instance, that whole wonderful duet for the two guys.
Oh, yes, and I actually sing that in the show, too, which is by far, John, my favorite song to sing in the entire show. Even more over the opening number. That is the most gorgeous piece.
I don't remember you. It gets twisted around with that song. That's David, and he's brilliant.
Oh wow! Well, I sing Sometimes a Day Goes By.
And John, I get to sing A Quiet Thing, and yeah. I'm finding
that's what I was saying before. That's really hard because the range is hard.
It is, and I'm a soprano, so.
Well, it's easier for a soprano than it is for a belter.
It is. There's a couple of the beginning notes, the when it all comes. There's it's depending on where I am emotionally after our wonderful co-star Ryan Rouge, who sings "Marry Me" to me. Sometimes I'm a little verklempt, and that first note is a little more spoken. Mm. But to find
there's
out,
there's a way you could cheat it.
Yes. Oh, believe me, I know. And then I also get to sing "Isn't This Better" in the trio. And
that trio is David's invention too, with those wonderful intertwining voices. I love that trio.
Yes.
And John, that trio is outstanding. And I took a lot of I took the music that you created, and I didn't take many liberties, but I did something at the very end. I was very much inspired. I've always been inspired by West Side Story and Leonard Bernstein. And you know the very last scene at the end where they're carrying. What's his
Riff.
Name?
Riff.
No, at the very end of the movie.
Tony.
Right.
Tony.
Oh,
Tony
oh, the effort. Movie. I don't know if I ever actually
and
saw
it. They have that. It goes da da.
Yeah, well, that's the end. That's the end of the musical.
At the very end of the musical.
Right.
I actually put something into the end of your trio a cappella that is just hauntingly stunning.
I hope I get to hear it.
Oh,
I tell you, unions be damned. I'm going in there with a video camera. I'm going to sit in the audience. I'm going to sit. They'll know I'm there, so we will get a pirated video to you somehow. Somehow we'll
get
it.
Okay, great. I'd love that.
We're going to talk to them more about this particular production, but before we wrap it up with you, John, Michael mentioned earlier there's a new project that you're working on with a new partner. Can you tell us a little about that?
Sure. Actually, there are two. There's a piece that I've been working with a young writer named Greg Pierce. He went to Oberlin, and I went to Oberlin too, except not at the same time. He went to Oberlin 50 years later than us. But we started making up stories, and we took three of them and musicalized them, and the piece which includes the three pieces is called The Landing, and that's being done at the Vineyard Theater next fall, and we're at work on our second project, which is one story, but one very complicated story, which is called Kid Victory, and we're doing a workshop on that in April.
Nice.
Now if I continue to breathe, we have a third piece, which we want very much to do.
That's fantastic. Wow. I understand that he is the son of David Hyde Pierce's brother. Is that correct?
He's David's nephew.
Yes. Yes, and he is, I think, 34 years old, perhaps, and that would be...
That is correct.
Two years younger than Joshua.
I'm 36.
So. He's 36.
And 15 years older than me.
Well, let's say this. I'm 86, so I've got it on all of you.
What a joy to have you on the show.
John, one last thing. I wanted to say congratulations on this big thing you're doing on PBS that you're going to be honored for. I only imagine you've been honored many times in your career, but the people I saw that are going to be performing at that thing, can you elaborate a little bit on that before you have to go?
Sure. Well, they're four very close friends. There's Maren Mazey and Jason Danieli, whom I've worked with a lot, who
are
wonderful singers, and Cheetah Rivera and Joel Grey.
Wow.
And
couldn't get any names for it, huh?
which, by the way, John, I stood out when I went to see Chicago years ago, and I stood and waited for him with my cabaret poster outside to get him to sign it. So
I'm sorry, I didn't get it.
At the stage door years ago when I went to see Chicago in New York, and I waited for him, and he was to sign my original cabaret poster.
Joel Grey
himself.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
And did he see you?
Oh yeah, he did. He was a very very nice. He reminds me very much of Kristen's father.
Actually, my father his name is Robert Towers. He was the original Snoopy in Yerga Man Charlie Brown and a lot of things. And he actually went in for cabaret for you. And he has always told me my whole life, all of my 20 years, that I'm getting younger, by the way, as we go on here.
Yes.
But he's always
There's
told
a whole
me,
Benjamin Button thing in your family, isn't it?
He's always told me what a gentleman you were to him, that he worked with you for a while to try to get up to speed to be the national tour Joel Grey, and he did not get the role, but he loved working with you. And so there's my little shout out to my dad.
Thank you for that. I'm sorry you didn't get it.
Yeah, me too. My life would have been a little different.
Well, John, I just have to say you're one of the you and Fred Epper are two of the amazing composers of our time, along with Marvin Hamlisch and all. It's rare to find people these days that can write a body of work that you guys have done, and this always.
Well, we were very lucky. Really, really were, and. And it was much, much easier when we were getting started than it is today. I wish everybody who's starting out now had the kind of luck that we had.
Well, you're an inspiration.
Yes, you are. There are no accidents, and we're so happy that you're here and that your music will live on for generations to come.
Thank you so much, and let me see you.
Yes, yeah. We'll make a point of showing you something. Broadway World Television is covering it as well, and that's something that you can definitely see a piece of. And I'll make certain that I send it to your assistant for you, and that's a done deal right there.
But if we can... Okay, you guys, thank you very, very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you
for taking the time,
thank you, John.
Thank you so much.
Great to have
such
you with
an
us.
Such an honor.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye-bye.
Bye. Before I say anything, I want to tell that our two guests that Michael orchestrated all of this himself and got all of this to happen, was insistent that I keep it quiet when we get to the first part of the trip. So we're so happy that you were so surprised. And once again, it's the only time I've wished for a webcam in this room because they were just like, I mean, it was just hysterical to watch them because it was sort of, you know, it's the same way I would feel if you surprised me with a phone call from Tom Waits. That's exactly how I would be because Tom Waits is my
Paul, you know, the funny thing is when you were talking to him earlier before we went on the air, I was like thinking, well, it couldn't be Liza Minnelli because she doesn't have a cold like that and makes your voice that low. So I was like, you know. So.
Well, what was interesting, Josh, in watching you is that because you're so familiar with, both of you are so familiar with this body of work, that as Michael let more and more be known, it was just wonderful to see your eyes just sort of open. It's like, wait a minute, there's only one person. Wait, there's only one. And then, of course, when you mentioned, you know, Ebb, that it's like, okay, right. There's no question anymore.
Growing up with my grandmother being who she was, she died almost 3 years ago, and I grew up with, you know, Gene Kelly there at Christmas time, and you know, like I've always had influential people in my family and in my life, but there are a few people that star strike me because of their body of work, and John Kander is one of those people. If it had been Stephen Sondheim, I would have been under the table. I had pictures of Stephen Sondheim up on my wall as a teenager, like other girls did with Teen Beat. Yeah. I mean, that's the kind of musical theater person I am. So this was quite the honor. And to know that he has read our reviews, and I mean, that's just amazing.
And then he wants to watch a video of our show.
Yeah.
And you know, the thing is, Paul, I kind of have a similar story, but in a different way. I was quite a few years ago when I was auditioning a lot for as an actor, I went to an audition and met Ira Gershwin's niece. She's a cabaret singer.
Alexis.
Oh. Mm-hmm. And I was standing in front of her, and after I performed for her, I performed a Gershwin song, and she turned to me and she says, "I've never heard that song sung before." And I said, "Even if I don't get this job with you, I have stood in front of a man that I'm standing in front of somebody that I've studied my whole life. George Gershwin has been my life. I've studied his music. I understand his music. I love his music. I've done his musicals. And that was like one of my honors of my lifetime. I mean, and then of course I got to just meet Jeff Marx the other day from Avenue Q. And that was another honor. But I mean, I don't, it's what, for me, I always try to treat people like I would like to be treated and very normally, as opposed to, because I know they're famous. But the fact is, they all had to come from somewhere to get there.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
and you know what? We're talking about all of these wonderful people and these inspirations for you, but we should let our listeners know a little more about you, because I want to give you your intro that you are due, and we'll continue chatting about it, but I want to let them know. It was at the age of 1.5 that our next guest innately began honing what would become a lifetime love affair with all things musical, from the piano to the trumpet to the guitar to the ukulele and the violin to voice, choral and barbershop to musical theater and to the art of composing. This young master's destiny would ultimately propel him into the worlds of jazz and musical theater, and it is there that his true passion lies. Most recently, he's taken on the roles of musical director, vocal director, pianist, and performer in the critically acclaimed production of Kander and Ebb's Dazzling and The World Goes Round, currently playing at the NoHo Arts Center. Please welcome Joshua Eli Krantz.
There.
Had to get in
there. That was quite an applause. Thank you. I'm so humbled by all this. You know, I mean, this is my first time being on a radio show. And
really?
Yes.
Absolutely. You got a radio voice.
Yes, you do.
Thank you very much. I did a little bit of voiceover in the past.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
No, but I mean, you know, I'm a very behind the scenes kind of humble guy. So, you know, being here today is an honor for me. So thank you for having me.
We're delighted to have you. And
so happy to have you.
And it was especially nice when I'm going to say John. I'm already referring. When John was on, when we were talking to John Kander,
exactly.
what was especially nice is that both of you are so familiar with his work that it wasn't like, you know, the questions and the observations were coming from people that truly appreciated him, and I'm sure that he sensed that, and also that he's appreciating your work back. I mean, how wonderful to hear that he read the reviews and he had already, given what his schedule must be like. It was really
amazing. I mean, we're on Broadway World. I could never have imagined that.
Yeah. And the Broadway World pieces that Michael oversees some of them, and they're so professionally put together. Oh, they're packaged so wonderfully, and what a nice thing to be able to share with him.
That hasn't happened yet. We're just in the midst of creating.
No, you had mentioned.
But
yeah.
Broadway World print came out with a glorious review.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Don
right.
Rigware, of course, being the LA critic here.
I saw on Bitter Lemons, there's a website here.
We made
Bitter
it.
Lemons, you're 100% sweet.
Oh. That's correct.
They have the.
Yeah.
There hasn't been a review that's. I mean, the only thing was in Karen Salkin's review, it's Not Me TV or something. I forget what the name of her website
is. It's Not About Me.
Not About Me TV. She mentioned, she said, I used to be a dancer, and I wish the Whitman would have pointed their feet.
And I'd like to say
more.
To her that my shoes don't do that. So, I have trained in
ballet
my whole
Boy, I tell you,
life.
Though, if they're watching feet, they have bigger problems than that. You know?
Well, she said, and that's the only thing
that
I
was
can
the,
even
yeah. Yeah.
say.
Exactly.
She was looking to find, something.
Well, you know what, though? She's a lovely lady. And
she's a lovely lady.
Oh, yeah.
She really was. She told me. That she was just totally taken aback, and that she wasn't someone that actually even is her preference isn't reviews, it's musical, full musical theater.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, and she was unclear about this show until she arrived, and then she was just knocked out. So,
on that point, something that you mentioned earlier, Joshua, the you said that this is a little richer than your usual review, that it has more of a narrative to it.
Oh.
Is there a formal narrative to it? Or?
It does have a through storyline. It's very much based off.
I'll tell you, lyrically, it's
yeah,
a storyline.
Lyrically is a storyline, but it does it. The show opens up with me coming back to a place I used to perform at, and
which is
a beautiful cabaret club designed by Tom Giamari. The set is just stunning. I mean, it's just stunning, and we have an amazing lighting designer, Matt Richter, who just took our show over the top. This little tiny 49-seat space that you're performing in, you wouldn't believe you're in a little 49-seat theater. You think you're at a cabaret supper club in New York somewhere.
Yeah.
It's just, it's gorgeous.
It captures
and,
that world.
And it really, really captures it. And the thing is, what's so wonderful about the piece is it's so intimate. You can literally be sitting in the front row and somebody could be like about this far away from you, which you can't see on radio, but I'm trying to show it right now.
About a foot.
About a foot.
Yeah.
About
right.
a foot.
Right.
And we even have numbers in the show where people actually come into the audience and sit right next to you.
Which is very cool.
Yeah.
I liked that.
Yeah,
exactly.
So it's beautifully done. But the thing is, getting back to your question, these are very much based off my personal experiences in my life that we tied into this beautiful music.
Uh-huh.
And...
Well, and Joshua, you're such an amazing musician, and
your feeling
for music and what you bring to the piano and making it sound like a full orchestra, which is only in this production complemented by actually drums and percussion, actually.
Yes, absolutely.
And Alex, your cohort in the musical part of the evening,
mm-hmm.
does a fabulous job.
Oh, yeah.
Just at the right places at the right
time.
Two
rehearsals.
Really,
oh,
yeah. Geez. Well, kudos to him because he really
Berklee
does
School of Music guy.
See, yeah. But I love that about, especially you mentioned the intimacy of it. I like it when it's pared down like that,
yes.
Especially in an intimate space. You've been in these, I've seen these shows where it's, a 49-seater, a 68-seater,
mm-hmm.
a 99-seater, and they've packed so many people in there and they blow you out the back door because it's too much
mm-hmm.
for the space. And
mm-hmm.
it's artistic economy. It's like, less is very much more. In
exactly.
Those
keywords.
Spaces.
Right. Keywords. Even with the piano, sometimes it can be that. And
oh.
they had to make some adjustments
yeah,
for exactly what
yeah.
you're talking about.
Yeah.
So.
And Paul, the thing is, the singers in our cast, and including myself, were very,
but
very.
Let's do a shout out to them.
I definitely would like to do that to our very talented cast, our Kristen Towers Rolls, who's here. That's tonight, this afternoon, and of course Isaac James, Eric Harahan Ball, Emily King Brown, and Ryan Rouge. And,
fantastic.
And
all
these, this cast is fantastic, and I tell you, like, my dream of wanting to do this 18 years ago, I have my dream cast. I mean, this cast is just.
And I want to say it's not only that this cast is talented, because
no.
there are a lot of talented singers, there are a lot of talented actors.
Yeah.
There's a heart behind the the unit that we've become as an ensemble.
Right.
And it's very evident.
It feels like the planets are in alignment yeah. on
they,
this one.
They yeah. really are. Yeah. And everyone that has come to see it, from the most, you know, non-theatery audience member to the reviewers who spoke to us in person on opening night, said there's such a sense that this is a family up there and that you are all there for the right reasons.
Oh.
And that's rare in Los Angeles.
Let's before we forget, let's tell people how they can see it. We'll do this again before the end of the hour.
Absolutely.
But this is And the World Goes Round is playing at the NoHo Arts Center, which is 11136 Magnolia Boulevard in North Hollywood. Tickets are $15. It is playing February 2nd through March 10th. Those are the regularly scheduled performances, with a benefit on February 10th for...
Very important.
Yes. For Mind Institute at UC yes. Davis for research identifying the causes of autism and targeted treatments. And there are benefits. I imagine that they're all on the website with the information there. 323-960-4418 for tickets, or you can visit Plays411 at www.plays411.net/world. But once again, we'll throw this out there again before the end of the hour.
Well, the performance that they're doing on February 10th in particular is something that really is a beautiful thought, because it allows people who are challenged by Asperger's to be mm-hmm. able to come and see a production that is specially tailor-made for their sensitivities.
Oh, really?
Yes.
The performance is customized.
Pardon?
The performance is customized?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, wow.
And it allows them to...
How wonderful, though. Because so many times they do benefits, and it's just like people just assign a performance, and we'll call this a benefit for that. But to actually go that extra mile to customize it for the people, that's wonderful.
Well, the executive producers, Be Wild About Music, arranged for a member of the community here in Los Angeles who deals with Asperger's. Is it Asperger's?
Asperger's.
Asperger's, okay. I don't know whether that's a soft to your heart. To explain to the cast and to the creative team involved exactly the expectations
mm-hmm.
that should be thought of when this performance takes place.
I was the grand marshal for Cure Autism Now, the
yes.
ride across L.A.
Right.
back when I had a motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
And on my way to the event, I got stopped for speeding, because I was on the motorcycle and I was running late. And the cop's like, "Where are you going?" I said, "Well, you're not going to believe this, but I'm actually the grand marshal for the Cure Autism Now, you know, ride across L.A. And he just looked at me and he said, "You know, if you're lying, there's a special place in hell for someone like that." I said, "No." And it was luckily we were two blocks away, and I pointed and they saw all the motorcycles collected. So he let me off without a ticket.
Woo!
So,
wow.
Well, I urge anyone who knows someone that has or is challenged with Asperger's, and or you are compassionate toward that situation, now is the time to see this particular performance or get people together to see it. There's not a lot of seats in the theater, number one, so hopefully this appearance on radio today and the fact that we're talking about it and also on all of our press materials will get those people into the theater.
Is it the same, Joshua, do you know, is it the same contact information for tickets? Just the
absolutely. Okay. Yes. And we're even opening up some half-price tickets for that,
okay.
too.
Okay. Right.
And the other thing I wanted to tell you, the producers, Be Wild About Music, executive producers, were contacted. We've been in contact with the Mind Institute,
mm-hmm.
and they have expressed an interest. One of the, I don't know if his name is Dan Calloway or Dan Galloway, I'm not sure. But
the singer or the, or
somebody, they're going to be doing an autism theater performance benefit thing up at the Mind Institute at UC Davis, because that's where they do all their research. They're
uh-huh.
at the forefront
yes.
of all research.
Yes.
And they expressed a possible interest of maybe possibly having us bring our show up and do it up
wonderful.
There.
What a fantastic idea.
Which would be a wonderful thing. And, you know, and the thing is, we're doing this all for charity. So, and
cool.
to give back to people, because, you know, the thing about Asperger's is that people that don't normally get to go out into public and do these kinds
mm-hmm.
of things and enjoy these types of things, because they feel that they have to, you know, hide from life. And there's and the thing is, it's in the media all over
there
the place now.
There are so many gifted people.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Unbelievable, you know. I'm so glad that this is happening, that they have the opportunity to come and see not just a show, but this particular show.
Yes.
Because this is a ride This is the ride of your life.
And we would love to sell this out. We really would.
Yes. So pick up the phone, ladies and gentlemen. Pick up
the phone. Yes. 323-960-4418 or Plays 411. Absolutely. We're going to skip over our arts calendar and our sweepstakes. We'll give two prizes next week because I don't want to shortchange a lovely lady to my right.
We're going to talk to the beautiful Kristen Towers role.
So give her her due. Would you, Michael?
I will. Absolutely. And because our show is only an hour, Paul, we will not be able to list even half of our next guest's extensive credits. So I will defer to what Stephen Stanley at Stage Scene LA had to say about her in a recent production of Once Upon a Mattress. Here's the quote. Still, all of the above must bow in the presence of Kristen Towers Ross, who follows best of show performances in Kiss Me, Kate, and Sunday in the Park with George, and with a Princess Winifred, which pays tribute to the Burnett original, all the while making the part very much her own. She shows off tip-top slapstick skills, charisma that belies her petite stature, and one heck of a Broadway belt. Please welcome a woman whose lovely lineage of show business is apparent every time she hits the stage, the fantastically talented Kristen Towers Roll.
You get a rock introduction.
Yes, shake it up a little bit. Good to have you back, and always a pleasure to see you, Kristen.
So
I have
fun
you on
to
the
be
show.
Here. Thank you.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Nice.
A lot of fun. It is going to be a lot of fun. So your affection for this material, obviously, as you said, existed well before this.
Well, when I was going to college, when I was 5 in the 90s, and there was the show, and I got to see it. And I remember I was actually going through a breakup with a fiancé at the time. I was in my very early 20s. And so don't do the math. Don't do the math, people. And it was just a hard time for me. And I watched that whole Marry Me quiet thing into this gorgeous pas de deux, which I get to do with the fabulous Ryan Rouge in our
show. Isn't he, though? He's
gosh.
The boys, Isaac and Ryan.
Oh, those
amazing.
Two boys.
And
oh,
I get
goodness.
To watch the show from the piano every
night. Every night.
I get to watch
every
everything.
And,
this is gorgeous.
And so I got to see that, and it touched me. I remember just crying all my makeup off watching that. It's one of those things where some shows, some things will be over your head, and you need to go back and listen to it, maybe get the score or read through the lyrics or something afterward. But these songs, these Candor and Ebb songs, you get them immediately. Mm-hmm. They hit you where you're at immediately. Whether it be in something like Arthur in the Afternoon, which I also get to sing, that is so dang funny, or like the two, we have these two fantastic women in our show, Erica and Emily, and they do both Class and The Grass Is Always Greener, which are two of the funniest duets ever written for women in musical theater. Mm-hmm. And I don't care who you are or where you come from, they're tangible. Mm-hmm. Some musical theater can be what
highfalutin.
I have a good brow. Yeah. I have a good friend of mine. She got her PhD in musical theater, and she teaches it. And she has a whole thesis on the highbrow of musical theater and how sometimes it's not tangible. But I really believe that Candor and Ebb is the everyman musical theater.
Absolutely. Accessible is a great word. It's not affected, and that's probably why it's so visceral to people, because it's just genuine.
It's just tangible, and it's about. It's so common that wherever you're coming from, you have dealt with love, loss, sex, being a housewife. If you're a woman, at some point in your life, you've gone through a change. And where am I? Where do I belong in this world? Uh-huh. Not that I have personally ever gone through such things. But I'm just saying, I have. And so it was wonderful that I got to do that song, because I have 3 children and a husband, and I didn't work for 7 years as an actress.
To comment on the point you made right before that, the characters are also usually downtrodden. They're usually like scrappers and trying to, they don't do musicals about princes and kings. That they have these characters that are very raw and very visceral, and I think that's the appeal too.
And something is beautiful about the material, Paul and Michael, is that they take you on a ride. You start off in a kind of a sentimental place, then they can take you up like to coffee in a cardboard cup is something very, very funny and fast, and then all of a sudden they'll drop you off the edge of a cliff. Right. And put you in a totally different mood, and then they'll take you right back up, and it's
absolutely.
Like a total roller coaster. You never know where you're going to end
and
up.
And I have to say, because we've talked about the other people in the cast, but I have to say that our creative team, our director, Gary Lee Reed, who
fantastic.
Is fantastic, our choreographer, Noelle Britton, who I have known and worked with for years.
I met her the same night I met you.
That's right. Yeah. Michael saw us do
Guys and Dolls.
And she was my amazing Adelaide, and I was Sarah Brown, and that began a beautiful working relationship that we have to this day. And we are so blessed. We have an amazing stage manager, Carol Orsetti. Mm-hmm. We had all of the creative team behind the show.
Raquel Lerman, and her team, at
Theater Planners. Daniel Mahler, our incredible costumer. Our costumes look beautiful. Everyone looks, all the women, we all have different body shapes, and yet we all look
great
all
for
us. Which is so nice, because I am no bigger than a minute, and so it's hard to costume me sometimes. And this man put me, who's had three children, in lingerie, and nobody would know. There you go.
Exactly.
There's a shout out for the lingerie. So,
there you go. Three kids in 3 years.
Yes, you do get a gold medal.
Daniel Mahler, you devil.
So just across the board, I am so blessed to be a part of this wonderful.
Kristen, had you done any Candor and Ebb roles before this?
I have not. I've always been told that I should play Roxy in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone says that all the time. And I love Chicago, and I love cabaret, and don't get me wrong, but I've got to tell you that the stuff in the show that's the most unknown is my favorite.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I love Flora the Red Menace. I love Yes, which we open the show with. It is such a great opener.
Yes.
And it's
what is
not,
Yes from?
I think it's from 70 Girls 70.
It is so fantastic, and it opens our show with just people realize, oh, I need to buckle my seatbelts. Yeah. I am on a ride my life, like you said.
Right.
Yeah. And so I would the prospect of re-recording this, because I feel like there's all these songs that people don't know.
Exactly.
And there's just all these gems. And every person that has come to see the show has waited after to tell us. And if you are in Los Angeles, you can spend to come see our show what you spend on going to see a crappy movie. I'm sorry to say that.
Oh, yeah.
I know people like to escape, and sometimes musical theater or theater in general can kind of bring reality a little close to the forefront for you. Mm-hmm. But I dare you to come see the show and not fall in love and not be completely blessed, even if you're not a musical theater person, even if you're not really a fan of live theater. Mm-hmm. Come take a chance and see this amazing cast
and come Valentine's Day.
This is an ultimate Valentine's Day date and love letter.
I mean,
we are right in the center of North Hollywood NoHo Arts District.
Oh yeah, park once, walk to everything,
exactly.
Walk to the Pit Fire Pizza.
Yeah, or the Eclectic, which is right around the corner. And there's
Bow and Trust.
Before we forget, one more time, 323-960-4418 for tickets. That's 323-960-4418, and it's plays411.net/world. We're trying to throw that out there just while you're talking about
that. And it runs through March
10th. Yeah.
Yes.
And Paul, speaking back on one of the things Kristen just mentioned about the jewels and gems of this show, one of my most favorite songs in the show, which is quite a Marry Me to Quiet Thing, and then this beautiful Pas de Deux dance, which I think it's brilliant that they took the idea of the composers took the idea of the next number that comes after, which was a Chita Rivera one-woman show song. It's never been performed in any other show but hers, called Pain. And they take this very, very long relationship that they're telling, and they put it into comedy as opposed to a very painful situation being very painful.
Yes.
And it throws you in a way you're going, okay, All of a sudden, you're seeing this beautiful dance thing and these beautiful numbers that come previous to it. And then all of a sudden, you're thinking, what did the relationship end up like? And you don't know.
And that's something that our wonderful director really wanted to emphasize, is that sometimes things aren't wrapped up in a neat bow for us.
Yeah, neat bows. Yeah, exactly.
And there's a little bit of tension lingering there. And you get to wonder what happened to those two people.
Because that's what real life is.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's not TV. It's not sitcom.
It's not.
And, you know, to echo something you said earlier about you liking the songs that are lesser known, one of the great things about that is that people are enjoying them without a preconceived notion of other versions of it that
exactly.
they've heard. So the purity of the song without it being influenced by 40 different interpretations over the years is it distills it down to its essence.
For example, Emily King Brown, who is just unbelievable, she sings Coloring Book.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, that used to be more of a well-known song. It was
right,
a pop song at one point. Right.
Yeah.
And she, the way she performs that. And then, on the other hand, we have Erica, who sings All That Jazz. And I dare you to find a hotter woman and version of
my
that.
God.
And we don't do that as a group number. It's just her and a piano and me singing
and that's all
together
you
with her.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need anything else.
Yeah.
Well,
she's
Gary
amazing.
Lee Reed, sir, if you are listening, you did a beautiful, spectacular job with this show and putting all of these amazingly talented performers and musical director Joshua Eli Kranz in and around this scope of John and Kander and Fred Ebb music. It's beautiful. It is stunning. Obviously, the critics are writing you love letters, so congratulations to everybody. And folks, if you're out there listening, don't miss it. We really urge you to see it. It's something quite special.
And it's only through March 10th.
Through March 10th, yes. And that special February 10th benefit for Asperger's. Don't forget about that. Yeah. If you know somebody, get them there.
And we are out of time.
We are
through our 50 minutes, but what a joy having both of you on.
Thank you
so much for having us
Such
on.
Such a pleasure.
And our thanks to John Kander, who joined
Absolutely.
Us in the
Mr.
early
Kander, thank you
part
if
of the hour.
Listening.
Honor
yes,
of my life, Mr.
Yeah.
Kander. Thank you.
Yeah, I have no words.
And Paul, thank yes. you always.
Thank you, Michael. Good to be back after our little hiatus. Glad to be back. And I'm definitely going to go see this one. This is right up my alley.
Please do, yeah.
All right.
Yes,
and we will
see you on the radio.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.